skipping your AC tune-up this year? Think again. Don't spend another season hoping your air conditioner works. Be sure with help from the team at Legacy. An annual tune-up keeps your AC running safely and efficiently when you need it most. Avoid costly repairs, breakdowns, and keep your AC running for years to come. Visit LegacyHeatingAndAirInc.com for easy online scheduling and special offers and discounts. While you're there, sign up for an annual maintenance plan starting at just $13 a month and leave the worry to us.
Welcome to Football Never Sleeps, the weekly YouTube show where we talk Notre Dame football with you, and you can talk Notre Dame football right back at us by submitting questions, comments, and even compliments, or letting Tyler James know whether he needs a haircut. I'm Eric Hansen. The guy in the other square is Tyler James, puffing up his hair. And we're here to catch you up on all the happenings from the recent NFL draft, the transfer portal doings and inactivity that have been happening leading up to the deadline, which is tomorrow for underclassmen and Wednesday for grad transfers, and a whole lot more. So we want to get you started filling in the question queue and hitting the like buttons and every other button you're supposed to hit. I'm not an expert at that. Tyler is. So, Tyler, take it away.
Yeah. First, make sure you're subscribed to us here on the channel. There are plenty of you that tune in and watch us regularly that aren't subscribed to us here. And we'd really appreciate if you did subscribe. All it costs you is a click. And then you'll have all our content in your feed when you go check your subscriptions. Make sure you hit the bell for reminders so you don't miss any of our content. You can get reminded just in case we move around our Football Never Sleeps. I think we're sticking to our Monday 7 p.m. schedule, but sometimes the schedule dictates things that we have to put it around, so we may move it, but we're trying to stay as consistent as possible for you guys. And then, yeah, the like button, which Eric knows how to use, make sure you hit that thumbs up for us to help support the show. If we will be taking questions throughout the show, as Eric mentioned, so make sure you click through to YouTube to make sure you're able to do that. So if you're watching us embedded somewhere, whether it's on the Insider Lounge message board, InsideIndySports.com, somewhere on social media, Facebook or Twitter, you got to click through to YouTube to be able to submit the comments so we can see them in our chat. If you are on a desktop of some sort, the chat box should be on the right-hand side. And then if you're on a mobile device, the chat box should be below our talking heads. Lastly, if you're not a subscriber to our website, InsideIndySports.com, make sure that you consider taking advantage of our 30-day free trial for our YouTube audience. Use promo code NDYT when you sign up to get free access to our premium analysis and recruiting coverage and special access to Eric and I over on the Insider Lounge, where we spend a lot of our time and share our inside information first. Like today, I provided an update on some of Notre Dame's top remaining 2025 recruiting targets with some official visit dates scheduled and a couple new names to monitor. There is a link in the video description that you can click to help sign up.
Awesome. Okay, so we are taking stock of Notre Dame football after the 2024 NFL draft and the day before the spring transfer portal closes to underclassmen. So let's see. Seven Notre Dame football players were selected in the 7-round, 3-day draft that concluded Saturday evening. And after Micah Bell, sophomore cornerback, jumped in the transfer portal last week, Notre Dame is at 87 scholarship players coming up to the deadline for underclassmen and then a day later for grad transfers. So we're going to do our opening drive with the NFL draft aftermath. The seven players who got drafted this weekend is one of the larger contingents in recent years. The Irish lead all over college football with 532 draft picks all time. Joe Alt started things Thursday night going to the Chargers. Thank you, Joe, for being so early in the evening. It helped me. He was the overall pick number 5. That's the earliest any Notre Dame player has been drafted in 31 years since Rick Meyer was taken in the 1983 draft, number 2 by Seattle. So, Tyler, let's start with thoughts on Alt going to the Chargers and maybe some of the connections behind the scenes who advised Coach Jim Harbaugh and GM Joe Ortiz, what they were seeing on film at the Combine and Pro Day.
Yeah, I know between the two of us, I'm more of the NFL aficionado, so I had a better sense of who the teams and what they need and what is being talked about in terms of what teams may be interested in. And the Chargers certainly could use offensive line help, but I think a lot of people thought they would need a receiver because they've lost so many.
So did the guys asking questions in the press conference.
They traded away Keenan Allen to the Chicago Bears. They let go of Mike Williams, who's oft injured. And so they have a star quarterback in Justin Herbert, but they don't have a lot of receivers for him to throw to. They did end up taking, I think, Ladd McConkey later. But Joe Alt ended up being the pick. And knowing what Jim Harbaugh has prioritized, obviously most recently at Michigan and other stops before then, offensive line was a big part of what they were able to do at Michigan. A big part of what any successful team should want to do. So it's not terribly surprising in retrospect, although it wasn't necessarily the hot prediction. But it didn't hurt that there were some Notre Dame connections over with the Chargers as well. Chris O'Leary, the new safeties coach, just came over from Notre Dame, and Mike Elston followed Jim Harbaugh from Michigan and certainly is familiar with the Notre Dame guys as well. So some voices in that Chargers coaching room, and the Chargers have been a team that a lot of Notre Dame guys have sort of landed on. This year was Cam Hart heading that way too.
Thomas Harper is a rookie free agent.
Yeah, Thomas Harper is a rookie free agent. Elohi Gilman's already on that roster. So if you're looking for an LA team to root for that's not the USC Trojans, maybe the LA Chargers can get some support from some Notre Dame fans.
Yeah, it's interesting too because this is a new regime for the Chargers. The group that had picked Jerry Tillery, Drew Tranquil, Manti Te'o, and Elohi in the draft, that was a different regime. Tom Telesco was the GM. He got fired along with the head coach in December.
And he had connections to Brian Polian.
Right.
So he had a very in-depth knowledge of Notre Dame as well.
But it was you know, I was able to eavesdrop on the press conference and I was able to be on Joe Alt Zoom on draft night. And, you know, both Coach Harbaugh and Joe Ortiz said that they felt like they just wanted to get the best player that they could. And as Tyler alluded to, they were able to get a wide receiver in the second round. So that was a pretty good combination of the best offensive tackle, according to a lot of people in the draft. I mean, if you go by draft position, he's the best Notre Dame football player in the last three decades. I like the pick a lot. I think there are Notre Dame fans who aren't crazy that anybody from Notre Dame is playing for Jim Harbaugh, but that's the way it goes. But certainly they're excited about him. Now, it sounds like he's going to play right tackle for them. They're going to sort it out later. Rashawn Slater is their left tackle. He was a first-round pick from Northwestern a few years ago, and he's done a very good job. So it doesn't seem like it would be in the cards for them to flip-flop. But Jim Harbaugh was saying something about the best five will play and where they line up. He said, I'll play five tackles if I have to. So, but they are very happy with Joe Alt.
Does he have a spare one he wants to send back to Notre Dame?
Yeah, no kidding. They could certainly use it. So, so Joe Alt makes it to Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego, Los Angeles, to be a member of the Chargers. So then we went into day two and things got really interesting. I think we both felt like Blake Fisher would probably be picked on day two. And I don't think either of us in our wildest dreams thought Maris Leofau would get picked on day two. So Blake Fisher went to the Houston Texans where he'll join Jarrett Patterson and Kurt Heinisch. And maybe there's others, but those are the two that I remember. And then Maris Leofau to Dallas. Let's start with that one because that was such a surprise. And even if you think going into the year, he wasn't even probably a draftable prospect. So what do we think about Maris going third round to the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, Maris is this isn't the first time we've discussed him. I think many of us consider him a bit of a perplexing player. I liked his upside, and he certainly did some good things for Notre Dame. But I just don't like, I don't know what he does great. And usually if you're going to end up in the NFL, you have like something you can point to that you do great. He's described as a versatile linebacker by a lot of people, but I think he's maybe just good to decent at some things. So I just don't know. I don't know what the ceiling is for him. Like what is his potential? What could he turn into that he wasn't able to do at Notre Dame? Because I think if he's the same guy he was at Notre Dame, that's surprising to me that he would be a third round pick. So I'm interested to see how he's used in the NFL, what they can do with him. Maybe there's something else that Notre Dame can tap into. You would have liked to think if there was a lot of untapped potential with Maris Leofau that Al Golden would have been able to figure that out in the last two seasons. And that, at least from my perspective, didn't necessarily lead to being someone that deserved to be picked in the third round, but happy for him. Certainly a great opportunity. A team that's going through some changes at the linebacker positions. And we'll see what happens with them.
Just having spent a lot of time interviewing Al Golden last year on Tuesday nights, and why that happens is everybody on the beat kind of splits up who they're going to transcribe. And I always volunteered for Al Golden. And so I, a lot of times, was asking the questions and transcribing, and he kind of bristled at the, why is Maris Leofau playing so many downs questions. And he was very happy when Marist had a really good game. I think in his mind, they always felt like there was more out there, that his best football was going to come. And that the year that he missed, 2021, with a lower leg injury, really set him back maybe further than anybody in the program thought. And that eventually we would see the guy that felt like he was on the turning into that player. We just haven't seen it consistently enough in production. But again, the kids from Hawaii tend to over deliver, and maybe this will end up being a really good pick for Dallas. I mean, he's an easy guy to root for,
right?
But I think there are, you know, better linebackers on Notre Dame's roster right now, to be honest with you. Now, Blake Fisher went in the second round to the Houston Texans, and it's a remarkable run of tackles being drafted very high for Notre Dame, especially their left tackles. And Blake Fisher is in that club with one left tackle start. But what did you think about Blake Fisher going to the second round? What do you think his future is going to look like in the NFL?
Yeah, I thought that was a little bit higher than I thought he would go. Blake was someone who I didn't think reached his expectations at Notre Dame. To me, his draft selection is sort of a reflection of the talent that he does have. The reason he landed a 5-star rating from Rivals in the first place when he was a recruit coming out of Avon High School in Indiana. I wonder if he's a tackle. It looks like the way he shaped his body after the season, he looks more like a tackle, and obviously we haven't seen him actually play football since then. How does that impact his ability as a player? Does that improve maybe some of the issues that he had and with some inconsistencies? He's certainly walking into a place that has some tackle options. The Texans have a top end starting left tackle with Laremy Tunsil. The right tackle could be Titus Howard, who sounds like they want to be a tackle, but they sort of had to put him in at a guard position. They lost who started at right tackle for them last year, but I think the thought was that Howard would be able to play right tackle. And we'll see if maybe Blake Fisher can beat him out and push Howard back into guard. Maybe Fisher slides inside. I just think he's someone that needs to be more consistent. A great team, an up-and-coming team that he's heading to with C.J. Stroud having an incredible rookie season and leading that team to the playoffs. So an exciting destination for Blake Fisher. Hopefully he can get closer to that potential that I think so many of us saw in him. To me, it's just a reminder. It's like when we're talking, and I'm being very critical of the offensive tackles on Notre Dame's roster. It's like, well, this is the standard that we're talking about with tackles. Like the worst of Notre Dame's two tackles went in the second round this last week. So And then you just go through the list of these guys that all been drafted. They're all guys that I've covered as recruits. Like, that's how recent so much of this offensive line success has been for Notre Dame in the draft, with top three-round picks at playing offensive tackle for Notre Dame. So that's, I think that's why, personally, maybe I'm holding those guys to too high of a standard, but that's when I see Charles Jagusai and Tosh Baker struggling at times in spring practices. It's like, man, they're a long way from Joe Alt and Blake Fisher right now.
I know you're a big Bears fan, and so you're probably like putting bleach in your eyes on Sundays, but were you able to follow the Texans enough to know how Jarrett Patterson did last year?
Jarrett, he started, I believe he was starting center. I don't know if it was from the outset of the season, but he started a number of games. It may have been eight. I even looked it up when he drafted. I think about it, it included it in the Blake Fisher story. But then he got hurt. So he went on IR for the latter half of the season, if my memory serves. So I think he should be in the mix. I don't know if they've done anything on the interior to change the likelihood of him returning as the starting center. But I think he sort of hit the ground running there, at least, and should be in good shape as long as he can get returned to full health. To continue being a part of that offensive line.
And so on day three, we had rounds 4 through 7, and there were three picks from Notre Dame, pretty rapid fire toward the top.
Yeah,
of the fifth
you're telling
round.
Me.
Yeah, yeah, where I was out of commission, so Tyler's doing that, and men's lacrosse, and Notre Dame beating the number 8 team in the country in baseball, and I felt just a little bit guilty.
Just the speed with which they came. I was like, I just hit send on this other story. I was like, oh man, this is moving fast. So, but it was,
I did
it was
have
cool.
My laptop with me, but you didn't call me, so I let you handle. I knew you could handle it. So we had Kim Hart go to Chargers. Then we had JD Bertrand go to the Atlanta Falcons, and then Audric Estime to the Denver Broncos. So what do we think about those three picks and where they came? Did anybody surprise you in terms of round number?
Not terribly surprising. If you would have told me like a month ago that JD Bertrand would go in the fifth round, I probably would have been a little bit surprised by that, but the recent sort of discussions about him, we were saying that he was a trending player, even though he wasn't able to do these post-season workout or pre-draft process workouts, because at the Senior Bowl, he tore the plantar fascia in one of his feet. He finished the week with the injury, but then has been recovering and rehabbing since then. And it was interesting, the Atlanta Falcons were talking about him and how he came in for like a local workout. They can invite a certain amount of people that are within a certain amount of miles of the pro organization. And JD Bertrand fit that being from the Atlanta suburbs. And they just met with him. So he didn't do a workout, but the head coach Raheem Morris called him Captain America just by the way he presented himself. And he talked about his recovery process and how he prepared himself on a daily basis during the season and in the off season. And so it's not surprising to hear that JD Bertrand presents well. I think anyone that's heard JD Bertrand talk, you know, we're talking about a 2-time captain at Notre Dame. So that makes sense, but it'll be interesting to see what his pro career looks like. I thought Cam Hart and Audric Estime were probably guys that you think are probably better football players than fifth round picks. The Estime with the running backs are just so devalued. So that's not terribly surprising. I still think he probably went later than some of the running backs that I would have taken him ahead of. So fifth round, I think isn't crazy there. Cam Hart, the shoulder injury history, I think it's just so hard to sort of put a high pick on. So I imagine that limited his ability to go earlier, but I think that could be a great pick if he stays healthy. I think Aldrick Estime should be a steal. They're just really good guys. Like, I'm reaching out to these NFL teams after they get drafted to get information on their press availability and stuff like that. It's like, hey, these are great kids. You guys are going to love being in charge of them as press people because they present well, they talk well, and they're pretty fun guys to be around too. So happy for those guys to find out where they're heading.
Right. And Bob from Oxnard, we're going to get to your recruiting question a little bit later when we spend into recruiting and so forth. And
yeah, thank you for the recruiting questions. And if you have questions, feel free to send them our way. I know you guys might not have a ton of NFL draft questions, but we will get back to Notre Dame's future roster here shortly.
Well, I still have a couple of them left. J.D. Bertrand and Maris Leifau, do you feel like Max Bowa and Al Golden deserve some credit for those guys becoming? I mean, these were 2-3-star guys. They were barely in that 2019 class. If you remember, there was a numbers issue with that class. And there was talk about Maris maybe gray-shirting and J.D. Bertrand coming in on an academic scholarship, and then the numbers loosened up. So I'm wondering, do you feel like they deserve some credit in their development?
Yeah, I would say so. I think you got to give Clark Lee credit too. Clark Lee is a guy that recruited them and helped them early on in their career, especially JD. I think JD's first big season, if I'm doing the math right, I think would have been under Clark Lee still. So I think
wow, you guys think about Notre Dame's linebackers coach since Brian Van Gorder. It's pretty good.
Yeah, they got a pretty good track record, right? Oh, and then it was even James Laurinaitis was someone that I don't remember who said it, whether it was Raheem Morris or Terry Fontenot, the GM of the Atlanta Falcons. But as soon as J.D. Bertrand got drafted, James Laurinaitis texted them, said, "Hey, you're going to love him. I'm so fired up about that." James Laurinaitis, who spent just 1 year at Notre Dame, I believe, and is now the linebackers coach at Ohio State. So there's been a lot of talented linebackers coaches around these guys, and certainly that probably plays a big role in them being able to maximize their ability at Notre Dame and get into the NFL draft.
So there were a few Notre Dame players who were not drafted who do have training camp opportunities as undrafted free agents, or in Michael Vincent's case, he was invited to a mini camp with the Colts, where there's obviously the Brian Mason connection. Brian Mason is their special teams coordinator now after being at Notre Dame. And then Spencer Schrader is also headed to the Colts. And Thomas Harper, as we mentioned earlier, is going to the Chargers. Bo Bauer is signed a contract with Washington, right, Tyler?
Correct. Yep.
And he's going to be a long snapper for them, not a linebacker, or do we know?
That's not clear to me. I'm not sure what
his hometown paper kind of muddled it, but it sounded like he was going to be a long snapper for them.
Got it.
And then we need to talk about Sam Hartman. So Sam Hartman went to the Washington Commanders. I didn't say Redskins. And it sounded like he got a pretty good bonus and some good guaranteed money, given the fact that they drafted a quarterback really high.
Yeah. Right?
So what do we think about Sam Hartman not getting drafted? Was that a surprise? And do we still feel like he has some kind of NFL future that's optimistic?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like being a starter at the NFL level, I don't have high expectations for that for Sam Hartman, but he certainly seems like someone that I could see hanging around as a backup in the league for quite some time. He's a good guy to be around. He seems like a good team player, good attitude, knows a lot about football, has a lot of experience throwing the football, certainly. I wasn't terribly surprised he wasn't drafted because of those things. Like, I don't think he's a starter. I don't think he did enough to raise his ceiling at Notre Dame to make him a draftable prospect. I don't think Notre Dame necessarily helped him enough in that manner either to get him there. I think that was sort of the hope with him coming in to Notre Dame from Wake Forest. If you would have asked me about Sam Hartman's draft stock at this time last year, I probably would have been more gung-ho about him being an eventual draft pick. But I don't think that I would have drafted him. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him going to the Commanders. They drafted Jaden Daniels with the number 2 overall pick. So Mike Denbrock's former quarterback. So maybe Mike Denbrock can help out there. But the Commanders took a lot of attention on Notre Dame at Pro Day. Their head coach was here. Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator, was here. Their head coach is being Dan Quinn. I believe their GM was also here. So maybe they felt good walking away from that time spent with Sam Hartman from that to give him an opportunity. Seems like he has a chance to stick there, which certainly if you can do that, even as a backup quarterback in the NFL, that's a pretty good gig. So we'll see what happens with Sam Hartman moving forward.
Okay, and then I think the only one NFL hopeful that I don't think has found a home, at least that I haven't seen, is DJ Brown. Have you seen anything on DJ Brown?
I have not, but I haven't. I didn't take any time to look today, but I have not seen anything.
I did look today, and Notre Dame doesn't have him on their web pages, having landed somewhere. But maybe he'll find a home as well. So the last thing about Sam Hartman, given this is the result of it, is Notre Dame better off having Sam Hartman come to Notre Dame for a year? Is Sam Hartman better off having played at Notre Dame for a year, do you think?
I think you could probably – I mean, I think the answer is probably yes for both. Like, right. even if Sam Hartman didn't improve his draft stock, everything that we've heard, he really enjoyed his time. He seems to really like Notre Dame. He appreciates the experience. So, I mean, you're only in college once, right? So, I guess he could have stayed at Wake Forest. I would imagine what he did at Notre Dame is probably better than his experience would have been at Wake Forest. But I don't know. I'm just guessing there. Notre Dame certainly didn't work out as planned, but like what would have been the alternative? Like, Tyler Buchner would have been your starting quarterback? I don't know that Notre Dame would have had a better record necessarily last season with Tyler Buchner. I think he probably would still have the same questions and probably would have still looked at the transfer portal for another option. Unless somehow that ends up with Steve Angeli becoming the starter and he has a great season and then you feel good about Steve Angeli coming back this year, maybe that sort of changes the whole quarterback trajectory. But, and I mean, I guess the same could be said for Tyler Buchner. He could have been an amazing quarterback at Notre Dame, but if he wasn't able to do that at Alabama either with a lot of talent around him, I just don't know if that was necessarily going to work out here at Notre Dame. So that's my thought on that. What do you think?
I think we'll probably look at this further in the distance as being good for both. I mean, it wasn't the happily ever after story that everybody kind of wanted to and kind of was leaning into when Hartman came. But I think one thing that we didn't talk about there was Steve Angeli, every chance he talks to the media, says Sam Hartman being there helped him so much.
Sure.
And if Steve Angeli ends up being the Notre Dame starter someday, that's going to be a big deal. I don't think Notre Dame would have had as good a record with Tyler Buchner. Maybe had Tommy Rees stayed, maybe the records would have been different for both of those guys. I really think that Jared Parker's inexperience played into the big divots with Sam Hartman, because overall his numbers were actually pretty good. He was a top 15 in passing efficiency, but I mean, there was such a difference between the highs and the lows in those games against Clemson and Louisville and such. So, but I also think Notre Dame, now again, some people aren't jumping up and down about Riley Leonard being at Notre Dame, but I think Sam Hartman's positive experience was something that Riley Leonard listened to. I don't know that that would have been the determining factor at all, but it was certainly something that was positive in his head as he was making a decision on where he was going to spend this season. Okay, So let's move to the transfer portal watch. So Notre Dame is at 87 scholarships right now after Micah Bell jumped in the portal early last week. He's a sophomore cornerback. It closes to underclassmen at the end of the night, Tuesday, tomorrow. And then grad transfers can still enter the portal through midnight on Wednesday. And that doesn't mean people have to decide their destination. It just means they need to be in the portal. And Tyler sent me a note earlier today that there was a secret rule change regarding the portal, or at least it wasn't highly publicized. Prior to last week, grad transfers could pretty much transfer anytime they wanted to. They were not restricted by these portal windows. the NCAA passed a rule that they want to restrict grad transfers to these portal windows. They gave them an extra day, as well as the people on rifle teams and women's swimming and a few other sports, but they have an extra day to decide about the portal. So as we get to this point, we know that Notre Dame needs a punter. We know that Notre Dame probably needs a cornerback. And I did talk to the one who visited, Trayshawn Devons from Rice, today. He's still very heavily considering Notre Dame. He and I are going to catch up a little bit later as far as what his visits look like and if he's changed his timetable. Right now, his timetable was when God told him to make a decision, and he said, I'm not going to put God on a timetable. But I think he would be a really good addition for Notre Dame. And then offensive tackle, let's talk about that for a second, Tyler, because I went through the offensive linemen that were available, even the ones that weren't available. Joey Tonona in Rivals portal rankings was the fifth ranked offensive lineman in the portal, both portal cycles added together. And I thought if Joey Tonona, and I think Joey Tonona is a really good football player.
I think that's a bad job by our analyst. I do too. I think that's just, someone should have talked to us more, I think.
Right. Well, they had Zeke Correll considerably lower on that list. I mean, Joey Tonona hasn't played college football yet. Coming out of high school, they were pretty comparably ranked. But even then, there weren't a lot of offensive tackles or even offensive linemen that looked like it would be an upgrade over Tosh Baker. But again, we still have tonight, tomorrow, and if they're grad transfer, Wednesday. So what is your thoughts about the need for an offensive tackle and the reality that that'll happen?
My thoughts on the need remain the same as they have since, I don't know, December. Obviously we're running out of time in terms of there being an answer to resolve that need, to fix that need. Otherwise you just got to get your offensive tackles on your roster a lot better. There haven't been any names that have crossed my way that, are like,
well,
okay,
if they were, a lot of them were in the draft. Gosh, eight of them were in the first round.
Yeah. And I'm sure like anyone that is of a quality that Notre Dame could start at Notre Dame next season, enters the portal in the next 3 days, like they're going to have a lot of people wanting them too. Like Notre Dame's not going to be the only school. So it's not an easy hill to climb. And that's part of the reason why that hill has not been climbed to date. Just because there's not a lot of good options out there in terms of being obvious improvement. So we'll see if Notre Dame, if someone decides to make the plunge in the next few days, and Notre Dame can try to make that work.
So what do you think the chances of Notre Dame adding a punter? And I had in my trail tracks today, my rare appearance doing that, which makes me nervous to get all these kids all over. But the word we were hearing is that Marty Biagi is looking at prospects in Australia. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I believe the plan is for him to be doing that tomorrow as well. So, I mean, that's a long trip. So, Marty Biagi is the one that gets all the long trips. He's also Notre Dame's Hawaii recruiter too. So he has probably the best frequent flyer miles on the coaching staff right now. We'll see what he's able to come up with. I don't have Australia's
and there are courses. There are punters in college football that have come that route, that have been Australian.
Notre Dame is not going to be the first to try this. So I just don't know who to say, like, hey, this is the guy.
Rivals doesn't have an Australian rules football rankings.
Not yet. Maybe we'll have to expand into that. But yeah, we'll see what comes of that trip. If there's someone out there that Notre Dame can get, because certainly Notre Dame wants to add someone. That Marcus Freeman made that clear. I suppose it could be a guy that comes in as a freshman next year too, still, right? Like if the kid hasn't been in college yet, they could still make him come in and get him in this summer or whatnot. So we'll see what happens there. I don't have the answers, but it seems like Notre Dame is looking for answers right now.
Okay, before we move on to our next topic, do we want to take some questions?
Yep, I got a bunch of questions here for us. Is you 39 says, hi guys, FNS makes Monday a day to look forward to. Appreciate that. Concerning tackles, if Emil Wagner can put on 15 pounds of good weight going into fall camp, should he move to left tackle to pass block?
He's worked at both tackles, and when he first came in, I thought he would probably be a future left tackle just based on his athleticism. The coaching staff seems to really like Charles Jaggers at left tackle. I know we asked Ryan Harris about this on one of our podcasts. Ryan Harris, a former left tackle at Notre Dame and in the NFL, and he loves Charles Jaggers at left tackle. Tyler, I don't know which tackle you played in college, but why don't you throw your 2 cents worth in, because I was just a tackling dummy.
Well, I didn't play much tackle in college. I was a freshman at DePaul University, so I wasn't asked to play very, very often.
Okay, you're asked to watch other people.
And DePaul University is a D3 school, so I'm not pretending that I was anywhere near as good as any of these guys. But I like the potential for Emil Wagner to do that. Why would you wait so long to make that move? And I think what seems to be the thought is that, well, they think that they need help at right tackle more than they need help at left tackle. So I think Emil Wagner, of those three guys, is the most natural left tackle. I still think he has room to grow, but I think they all have room for improvement when you talk about Tosh Baker and Charles Jagusa as the other two guys. So I wouldn't rule it out. I at this point, I'm not ruling anything out. I don't think anyone should feel confident or like comfortable with their position right now. I think everyone's still working to solidify what the outcome will be.
And we saw Garrabby Lambert walking around. And I'm not saying Garrabby Lambert's going to get involved, but he does look the part someday of being a pretty good tackle. Yeah. He gets off a plane, a bus, whatever vehicle, Tyler's car. He looks like a tackle.
And here's a question from Len about Garrabby Lambert. He said, Garrabby Lambert has a high ceiling. Has any Notre Dame offensive lineman who did not come in early start his first year? I believe Blake Fisher came in January, which that is correct. Maybe Sam Young. Can Lambert start this year?
Well, there have been, I want to say, 9 Notre Dame offensive linemen that have made at least one start as freshmen. I think Jagism might have been the 10th. So I think Fisher and Ault were 8 and 9.
And Ault didn't come in January, I don't think.
He did not. He was a summer enrollee. But
he also didn't start the first game.
And certainly most of those guys, the early guys like Sam Young, I don't think he was an early enrollee. Certainly Ryan Harris wasn't, because they didn't even do that then. So the earlier guys, Rosenthal, they were not early enrollees. So yes, it has. But we're talking about a different kind of era of football now.
Right.
But Ault definitely was a later enrollee. So it's possible. The other thing I'll say about that, Len, is that Marcus Freeman's coaching staff and his philosophy, they are way more open to, at any position, June enrollees being ready to go in the fall than maybe Brian Kelly was. That was almost compulsory that you came in, even though he had guys like Kyle Hamilton that were June enrollees that did just fine and more than fine. But I think Marcus is way more open to, you know, like Benjamin Morrison coming in June and having a chance to start.
Let's go with this other one from Len. It's offensive line related. Offensive linemen succeed after transferring less than any position. I don't know if there's data to support that or not, but some guards and centers have been, but I know of no tackles to make it big at their new team. Your thoughts?
I haven't followed it at other schools. Are we talking about, we haven't had very many at Notre Dame.
Yeah. I think he means, college football wide.
So who's the guy that went Alabama to, or Iowa and now back to Alabama.
Well, Caden Proctor.
We'll see.
He never played at Iowa, though. He's moving back to Alabama, I think.
Yeah. So I can't remember them, but I haven't followed them at other schools. It doesn't seem like – I mean, it seems like you just – if you're starting and you're happy and you're on a – have a good offensive line coach, then you just go pro, you know, after your junior or your – fourth year in college. So I'm not sure that I can answer that. How about you, Tyler?
Yeah, I would have to spend way more time deep diving into it and then looking at guys. I would probably just start at the NFL draft to see if any of those guys have transferred that end up being offensive tackle draft picks. I don't know that. I
think in the coming years we'll have more data on that, because remember, before there was these non-waiting transfers, a lot of guys didn't want to sit out a year, especially offensive linemen. And now you're getting a higher caliber offensive lineman in the portal. So I think we'll see down the road, like the Ruichi kid that just went from Wisconsin to Penn State, some of those guys.
Yeah, and offensive line is a position where you're, I think, less likely to transfer early on, because you know that this is part of, like, you're not a lot of offensive linemen are coming in with the expectations to start right away, especially at tackle. Like, you're going to have to develop. And it's probably easier to develop within one program than to try it in two or three programs before you get on the field. I would be curious to find that information. Maybe if Notre Dame gets an offensive tackle, we could have some information to supplement the coverage of that. But I think that's something that is at least noteworthy and a good question from Len.
Hey, so let me tell you who the freshman offensive linemen have been at Notre Dame ever. So we have, and this
started,
is
started, right?
That have started, yes, that have started. And most of these guys didn't start the whole year. So Mike Rosenthal was number one. He was a right tackle, three starts. Brad Williams, two starts, 1996. Ryan Harris, 2003. His first start came in game five. Sam Young, another right tackle, 2006, started 13 games, and then he eventually moved over to left like Ryan Harris. Trevor Robinson, a guard in 2008. Steve Elmer, four starts at right guard in 2013. Robert Hainsey, technically one start. He was a tag team with Tommy Kramer in 2017 at right tackle. Blake Fisher made the one start at left tackle, one start at right tackle in 2021 and was injured in between. Joe Alt, 2021, played in all 13 games, the last eight, as the starting left tackle. And then Charles Jagosa in 2024 started, or 2023 started the Sun Bowl. Those are the guys. That's it. That's the list.
Yeah. I was trying to pull up my list of early enrollee all times to figure out which of those guys were enrollees. I don't think Robert Hainsey was. Robert Hainsey was, Steve Elmer also was an early enrollee. Who were some of the more recent guys that you mentioned?
Let's see. It was Charles Jagosa was not. Joe Alt was not. Blake Fisher was. Trevor Robinson was 2008.
He was an early enrollee.
Sam Young, 2006.
He was not. That was the first class.
And that was kind of the line, yeah.
That was the first class of early enrollees at Notre Dame.
Right. So Ryan Harris obviously wasn't. Brad Williams wasn't. Mike Rosenthal wasn't.
All right. Sorry, that was a bit of a delayed research for you there, Len. But we were able to put it together there on the fly. All right. Let's go to some recruiting questions. We can skip ahead to that before we get into some of the topics. I don't know. There's not a ton of overlap there. Greg Garner says, so there is talk about Jerome Bettis Jr. possibly moving positions to safety. Would ND be better off if he does? Is he a better safety prospect than wide receiver and would allow Notre Dame to recruit higher talented receivers?
I'll let you take that one. Boy, I'll tell you, it just seems like Notre Dame has a lot of really good young safeties in the pipeline right now.
Right.
But I'll let you answer that one, Tyler.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't rule out that Jerome Bettis Jr. could eventually be a safety if it doesn't work out at receiver. I think he will start in terms of starting his career at receiver, not being a starter as a freshman at receiver. It has not limited Notre Dame's ability to recruit other wide receivers. Like, this is, Notre Dame has been well aware of the likelihood of adding Jerome Bettis Jr. to its class for months, and just, you could probably argue, a year. And Notre Dame is continuing to still go after high-end guys. I think we'll see if they can close on those. I think it's more Notre Dame has to get the other high-end guys to, like, feel like you move Jerome Bettis Jr. over to safety, in my opinion. I still think Notre Dame will still take two wide receivers if he can get two talented wide receivers in here, whether that's Derek Meadows or Tanook Hines or Taylen Taylor. Those are the guys that are reasonably highly recruited, four-star recruits. I think Taylor's a top 100 guy. Meadows might be a top 100 guys too. So if they get those two guys in your class, you're not going to be like, well, why didn't we take any highly recruited guys? But the problem is you don't have them in your class yet. So I don't think Jerome Bettis Jr. is taking the spots of those guys. So to me, that's not necessarily an issue. I think the question is, like, well, you have three guys that are three stars, but in when you consider Jerome Bettis Jr., Elijah Burris, and Sean Terry. And so that's where the question comes in. It's like, well, why are we filling up with three stars? It's like, well, one, Notre Dame doesn't necessarily believe those are three stars. There can be differences in opinion there. And two, they're not done yet. So we'll wait and see if those three receivers are all Notre Dame gets, I can get behind folks being disappointed with that haul. But I don't think it has necessarily limited Notre Dame's ability to continue to try to add other guys to the roster at that position. Anything you want to add there, Eric?
I'm on board with what you just said.
All right. Jeff Stevens asked, does contact with targets in Australia count towards the NCAA limit of coaching day contacts? And that would be yes, absolutely. It doesn't necessarily matter where they go. I guess if he went to Mars, it would still count too. As long as it's a recruit or prospective student athlete, that counts as a
I have a guy from Mars on my my chat every week, but he's from Mars, Pennsylvania.
Oh, all right.
Which are where I think Carmody's are from there.
That is correct. Yep. I believe that's the high school that they went to. Notre Dame 2164 asks, who has a better year this year, Jadarian or Jeremiah? And that being Jadarian Price. And
Jeremiah, yeah. Love I'm pondering. I'm like ribeye. New York strip steak. I like them both. I think they'll both have really good years. If I have to pick one to have a better statistical year, I would say Jeremiah, because I think he'll probably get a little bit more opportunity because of his versatility, because he can be a little bit more involved in the passing game. Although Jadarian is really good after the catch. They're just different skill sets that complement each other so well, but I'll go with Jeremiah if I have to pick one of those two, but I really like both of them.
Yeah. I think I would side with Love too, but yeah, I think either could, and I think one will at least, or I guess the question is who will have a better year. So yes, one will have a better year than the other, but one will have a really good year is what I mean by that. Genius.
It's like the cop out when people say, do you think so and so is going to transfer or sign with Notre Dame? And you say, well, it's 50-50, because then people think you're right.
Carberry Q asked a question, I think more towards the chat, but I'll give you a chance to weigh in if you'd like, Eric. A bit off topic, but how does everyone feel about them moving Newt Rockne's grave to the cemetery at Notre Dame?
I got a call from a friend of mine that was anti that today. I don't have a real opinion about it. I just hope that nobody moves mine when it's time, that I just stay wherever I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's a complicated topic for that reason, I think. But I mean, it's not someone that I have any ownership of, so I don't know that my opinion matters, you know. But, like, I think it makes sense in terms of, like, his resting place being visited by fans or people who probably care about his legacy the most. Certainly you would think Notre Dame fans and being at Notre Dame would give more people a chance to visit his resting place if that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be flippant about it. I don't have an opinion about it. I'm not a grave visitor. I've never visited graves of relatives and close friends.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're somewhere else. So that's just kind of how I'm wired.
Yeah, I'm of a similar opinion. I've like my relatives that have passed. I usually when I go, it's just to be there to support like one of my parents who were visiting one of my grandparents' graves or whatever. I try to make that connection in different ways than actually going to the grave. But obviously, everyone has their own way of expressing that or doing that. Ron Robert says it was reported that Peyton Woodyard, I believe that's the correct name, from Alabama, entered the portal. Any possible ND interest?
I think anybody would be interested in Peyton Woodyard. It was a guy that they tried to recruit. It's just where would he fit at this point? But Tyler, you can speak to his abilities better. That's Kyle Hamilton's cousin, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's a distant cousin. Yes, he's from St. John Bosco, so the same high school as Kingston Viliamuasa. Was committed to Georgia at one point. Eventually signed with Alabama. A talented player. He did sort of slide later in his recruiting process. Let me see where Rivals ended up ranking him, because he was a 5-star at one point. I believe he ended up being a 4-star.
I think he ended up being a 4-star, but early on, he was way up there.
He's a 4-star, ranked 60 overall in the 2024 class and the 5th safety. A big kid. I think there's questions if he would stay at safety throughout his career, maybe need to move to linebacker. Initially, it doesn't make sense. Beyond initial interest, nothing really seemed to materialize with him at Notre Dame, so it would be a little bit surprising to me if that changed now after a few months at Alabama, but I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm sure. I think I saw that he had a do not contact tag on him, so maybe he knows where he's going. But I certainly don't at this point know where that is.
I think if it had been at the beginning of spring, which the portal wasn't open then, but if he was kind of talking about it. The spring changed Notre Dame safety position so much. You know, they have Rod Heard the second coming in June. And then Adon Schuler and Luke Talich had such good springs. And there's some, I mean, like Bronte Johnson is a really interesting athlete among the freshmen. I just think, I'm not saying that Peyton Woodyard wouldn't be better than some of those guys, but he wouldn't be just, okay, that's the starter, I don't think. Do you?
No, I don't necessarily think so. I mean, that would be surprising to me. I don't think that would be very realistic.
Now, if he could play cornerback, then we would have a different discussion.
Yeah, he could find some playing time there, maybe. Len followed up on the discussion we were having earlier about offensive tackles or transfers. So he did some research while we were talking. And he said through two rounds, two of the 11. So you must have looked at the first two rounds. Two of the 11 offensive tackles drafted had transferred. And so that's Guyton from TCU to Oklahoma and Kingsley. I'm not going to try to butcher his last name, from Oregon to BYU. So there has been at least some success for offensive tackles who have transferred and getting drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL drafts, I think obviously would prove to be successful.
Thanks, Len. I'm going to let you be the researcher, and I'm firing Tyler.
Hey, you got me clicking on questions and stuff. I can't do everything. Let's talk about Dallas Golden. We have a question from Bob Bolt, but I want us to at least set the groundwork about Dallas Golden before we get into his question.
Okay, so Dallas Golden surprised some people with the timing of his commitment on Sunday, including me. He is a cornerback from Tampa, Berkeley Prep High School, a 4-star prospect. And I think the reception of him ending up in this class for Notre Dame is much more enthusiastic than where Rivals has him ranked right now. Not that he's low. I think he's around 147-ish. So, Tyler, how big of a get is this for Notre Dame? The 20th member of the number one class in the country, and a 4-star from Berkeley Prep in Tampa.
I was interested when you put the outline together. You had asked why isn't he ranked higher. I was like, well, I mean, I know he's not like a top 100 guy, but it's not like he's a slouch. So, for some context,
he's a tremendous slouch.
Notre Dame has only signed 8 cornerbacks ranked higher overall in his classes in the Rivals era, so spanning back to 2002. His overall ranking would put him somewhere between Christian Gray, who was ranked 93rd, and Jaden Mickey, who was ranked 193. I think those are both highly celebrated recruiting wins. I think if you just ignore the talent and focus on the competition, I think that's where a lot of the excitement comes from.
Yeah. His offer list was everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
College football.
Right, yeah. Notre Dame beat out Clemson and Florida State, I think, were probably the two schools he was considering most closely other than Notre Dame. But, yeah, his offer list was elite. He had Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Miami, Ohio State, Texas, USC, whoever you can think of.
Texas A&M.
They were Michigan. Probably on his offer list. What is he as a player? He's a versatile athlete, a playmaker on both sides of the ball. He's played running back, quarterback, wide receiver. He played a lot of his quarterback as a running back. He just takes the ball and runs. They were the Class 2A state champions in Florida Tampa Berkeley Prep High School, which is the same high school that produced Keon Keeley. And that's Notre Dame's been recruiting Dallas
Golden. And the Readers, right?
A baseball and football player at Notre Dame. And so Notre Dame's been recruiting Dallas Golden for a very long time. 6'1", 175 pounds. He accounted for 25 touchdowns as a junior, over 1,800 total scrimmage yards, 5 interceptions. So we're talking about a guy that's impacted the game in a lot of ways. So I think that's why there's so much excitement about him in terms of his ability, his versatility. Notre Dame is recruiting at a higher level at cornerback. I mean, I think, 5 years ago, this would have been like an unheard of cornerback recruit for Notre Dame, but Mike Mickens has really elevated the cornerback recruiting in his time at Notre Dame. And so maybe that doesn't get everyone excited, but I think he's a prospect that is probably worth getting excited about. And I'm fascinated.
He's got a cool name. I mean, Dallas and Golden.
Yeah, as a Notre Dame guy. And that plays into the question that Bob Bull asked. He said, does Dallas Golden move like Golden Tate? How about we see him play a bit on offense too? Thanks.
Well, I'll tell you what, Golden Tate moved super fast and he dove into the Michigan State band. You probably didn't see Golden.
I remember Golden as a college player. I was not following Notre Dame recruiting back then. I do remember his college career, and he was an incredible college player. And then obviously had a lengthy NFL career too. I think it's hard to compare people to Golden Tate. Golden Tate was pretty spectacular, and I don't think he would be that kind of a wide receiver he being Dallas Golden, being the type of wide receiver that Golden Tate was. But Dallas Golden wants, or Notre Dame wants Dallas Golden on defense, and the way Mike Mickens is developing cornerbacks, I think you have to like the odds that he ends up being a pretty talented one.
I think it's harder and harder to envision players that would play both ways in the portal era, because a lot of times you're grabbing experienced players to fill a hole. Same with really drastic moves like Devin Ford going to safety, but that was done to make him a better special teams player. But I just think we'll see fewer of those kind of moves and fewer players that may, I mean, because if not, why wouldn't you have done it with Kyle Hamilton?
Right.
You know, that seemed kind of unnatural.
Excuse me. I got a question here from Carberry Q. Do you guys think with Dembrock's scheme, the offensive line doesn't necessarily need to be a focal point as it has had to be in the past?
I don't think Mike Dembrock would agree with that. I think offensive line is always going to be important. You look at the teams that make the playoffs, and usually they're playoff. And usually their offensive lines are at least semifinalist Joe Moore type teams. Can he camouflage some of their weaknesses? Maybe a little bit, but I think Mike Dembrock is going to put a lot of his resources and energy into trying to make Notre Dame's offensive line better. And it's not like there's not talent there, but I need to go back and look at because there's a possibility Notre Dame will have five new starters if Pat Coogan doesn't win a starting nod, then nobody would have started more than four games last year for them. The last time that happened at Notre Dame and many
places. It, well, in their spots, because Rocco would have started more than four.
In their spots, right. Right. Right, in their spots. Yeah, since Rocco and Coogan are competing. But you still have a lot of guys that will be fairly new starters. I mean, Sherrill started four. Ashton Craig started four. I think Tosh Baker's got about four starts between 2021 and the one start last year. Charles Jaggers has got one. Coogan started every game. And then Rocco had seven or eight, I guess. But it's still fairly inexperienced. And again, the tackles, I mean, you lose a first and a second rounder, you know, but I still think, I mean, these were highly recruited guys. And so I think Mike Denbrock, who has offensive line in his background as a position coach, will put a lot of resources into making them better. And we'll see where they go.
Yeah, while you were talking, I was pulling up. I wasn't exactly sure of LSU's offensive line prowess last season, and they were one of the four finalists for the Joe Moore Award. So he used a pretty good offensive line. Now I don't know that LSU had like big time all offensive tackle prospects, or it looked like their offensive lineman, at least in terms of.
I think one of the guys is in the 2025 mock draft pretty high.
Yeah, maybe Will Campbell. I think he's pretty good. So I think obviously if you're talking about Mike Denbrock's best offense being last year, you had a great quarterback, but I think he had a pretty good offensive line too. I would buy the idea if you're selling me, hey, don't you think that Mike Denbrock could maybe be hide the weaknesses of his offensive line because of his ability as a play caller? I would agree with that, but I still think he would, if given his druthers, he would want a good offensive line and build around that and make it work. But I still think it's going to be a major focus. And if it's not, then it could be a weakness that can be exposed by opposing teams. And I mean, just look at what Notre Dame did against USC last season. Like Caleb Williams looked terrible because of what its defense was able to do against him and not only pressure him, but keep him in the pocket and limit his ability to make plays. So if opposing defenses are able to do that against Notre Dame, you're going to bring down the potential of the quarterback and the running backs behind him. All right. That's all the questions I got, Eric.
Okay. So let's stay on recruiting here beyond Dallas Golden. So 2025 quarterback commit Deuce Knight competed in the OT7 Orlando event over the weekend, as did 2026 QB target Brady Hart. What did Rivals national analyst John Garcia Jr. have to say about their performances at that event?
Yeah, he was complimentary. He said that Deuce Knight was someone that was had arguably the most live arm, was the way he phrased it. He also got to the fact that Deuce Knight is a bit of a raw player. I think most of us who have watched Deuce Knight play sort of both see the potential for him and also see that he's probably not walking into Notre Dame as someone that would be a likely starter. He's going to need some refinement. I think he even knows that. He's working some more with a private quarterback's coach to improve his technique and abilities and the way he would use his fundamentals, but his athleticism, his physical size is incredible. So there's a lot to like there. John Garcia said that Brady Hart, who's the 2026 one of the 2026 quarterback targets for Notre Dame, said he was also among one of the best third level passers from both the timing and accuracy standpoint. Similar with Deuce Knight. He said he's a bit of a risk taker, which I think it's 7-on-7. If you're going to take risk, do it when you're playing 7-on-7, right? And let his guys make some plays. So I think both of those guys continue to be thought of highly, and would, if Notre Dame can get someone like Brady Hart, the 2026 class would be quite the quarterback run that Notre Dame would continue quite the quarterback run that Notre Dame's on right now.
Okay. Do we need to wrap things up where we passed the hour? Or are we going into overtime?
I mean, if we want to talk about Shields Hall, we can. I don't know if there's anything that we necessarily need to say about it that people don't know already, but I'll let you decide what you think there.
I think we'll save it for another Football Never Sleeps where we can go a little bit more in depth on it. But the Jack and Kathy Shields Family Hall is a big deal. And by the time we talk to it on the about it on the show, it'll probably be completed with its construction. But that's just because all the questions you guys asked were so good. We had a lot to talk about tonight, as we seemingly do every week. We'll have some transfer portal stuff to talk about next week, I'm sure. So I'll let Tyler wrap it up. But thank you very much for all your questions, compliments, and for just being here with us.
Yeah, and thanks to Legacy Heating and Air for sponsoring Football Never Sleeps. Thanks to everyone that's joined us, chimed in with questions, comments. We appreciate that. Again, make sure you subscribe to the channel. If you're still watching this, you're not subscribed to the channel, you have one thing left to do before you close out the window. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, hit the like button if you haven't already, hit the bell for reminders. If you're not a subscriber to our website, hope you consider taking advantage of the 30-day free trial to InsideNDSports.com that we offer to our YouTube audience. You have to use the promo code NDYT when you sign up to get free access to our premium analysis and recruiting coverage and special access to us over on the Insider Lounge. I'll have a heat index update looking at all of Notre Dame's remaining 2025 targets and updating where things stand for Notre Dame. That'll be posted late tonight and tomorrow morning. So make sure you keep an eye out for that if you aren't subscribed. And if you aren't subscribed, maybe that's the reason you should consider subscribing.
And I'm still in TD4ND. Smash the like button.
Smash it, baby.
Touch it.
Yeah, don't tickle the like button. Make sure you smash it. We're going to have a podcast on Thursday this week, so check out that on your podcast feeds, and we'll be back here next week for Football Never Sleeps. So everyone enjoy your week, and thanks for joining us.
If you guys missed the last podcast and you have still offensive line questions, go listen to Bob Morton, and you will be really smart and impress your friends at the water cooler.
Yeah, and he played much, much better offensive line than either of us did, so I would take his word for it. So go check out what Bob Morton has to say. All right, see you guys.